ITS Coffee Break for Tuesday, February 19th, 2007.
In this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we'll have a quick sneak peek of Moodle 1.9. We'll talk about the new Moodle My Courses block. In tech news, we'll talk about Harvard Arts and Science faculty making a case for open access to their scholarly articles, and we'll also talk about a new research blogging site that gives you access to scholarly information on the web. In help, we'll talk about replacing existing resource files in Moodle and let you know about upcoming workshops.
The ITS Coffee Break. My name is Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And we hope that, like us, you guys are getting over the start of the semester crush.
Yeah, because we need to really get over that.
Yeah, it's been pretty busy since we got back. Well, actually, since you got back. Our listeners.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
It was just busy for us the whole time. But
absolutely.
Things are calming down a little bit, having a little bit more time to do stuff, and stuff like recording podcasts, right?
Absolutely.
So I guess the first thing we want to talk about in terms of, well, should we talk about Moodle 1.9 first, or is it
a
new course block?
Well, new course block's pretty cool.
Okay, you want to start with that?
Yeah, we've implemented a new My Courses block, so I think a lot of people have already realized this when you log into Moodle now. Your My Courses block on the main page gets divided up into current academic courses and this category called Other. And we're in the process of sort of potentially making a third category to pull out your sort of what you think of as other courses from your past courses.
Right. So like the evergreen stuff, things like the Middle State Studies or organization websites or stuff like that.
Right. But we've gotten really good positive feedback because I think it helps people feel a little more organized with their things. And we will say that some people have noticed that when you go into your actual course page, it reverts you back to the old block. And if we have any faculty listening, you can actually fix this by deleting the current My Courses block out of your course and then going into the blocks dropdown and adding something called filtered course block. And that'll get the right one in.
We could have actually gotten rid of the old block and replaced it with a new sticky block that would have appeared on everybody's courses, but it would have been locked down. People wouldn't have been able to move it around. So we figured, given the choice, we would leave people a little bit more freedom. For the fall semester, we'll look at actually replacing the course block in a way that will still allow people to move it around the page. So,
yeah. So, you know, this is another example of why we love open source.
Right, because we could just come up with something that works for us.
That's right. So thanks to Smith and Reed for their assistance during HackDocFest.
This directly came out of HackDocFest. This was one of the projects we had. So we've been tweaking it a little bit since then, but overall, I think it worked out pretty well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So in other Moodle news, we have taken a quick peek at Moodle 1.9.
Yes.
And the future is exciting.
It is pretty cool. I think it's going to answer a lot of the lingering complaints that we've had from faculty about certain things. Now, just to give you an idea of which version we're working with Moodle 1.9 Beta 4, which is the latest release, but it's still not ready for prime time yet. They're still kicking the tires and fixing bugs and working through some issues. The single biggest thing that I think people are going to be the most excited about is the new gradebook.
Absolutely. So, you know, the current limitations of the gradebook, while it adds some additional functionality beyond what people were used to in Blackboard, it's been really hard for people because you have to use a dropdown to assign the grades. And in the 1.9 gradebook, you're going to be able to just sort of type in like a regular Excel kind of format.
Right, and you'll be able to tab between the columns. You'll also be able to export to Excel, CSV, XML, and Open Document format. And you'll be able to import from CSV and XML. Now, exactly what XML standard they're importing and exporting from, I have no idea. But it's listed there.
But I think most people will probably use CSV because most people are going to export, open it in Excel, do some, you know, data changes, and then upload it back. So.
Right. So, I mean, it would be great if it could just suck in the Excel file itself, or even the Open Document version of Excel. But you know, we're not there yet. But yeah. The cool thing is you can take file data from Moodle, take it out, do something with it, and put it back in again. The other things that we have coming into Moodle 1.9, well, on my end, I'm excited about the fact that the cron statistics thing is going to get fixed. Moodle works way too hard when it's crunching its numbers, and we've had some performance issues because of that. So we've got those issues under control, but this new version just flies right along when it comes to crunching numbers. So that should be helpful. And let's see, what else do we have? Edit resources without previewing.
Yeah, so currently, you know, when you upload or when you add a resource to a course, it forces you to preview it. And most everyone I've kind of talked to, I tell them just to cancel so that you don't end up with 14 copies of something on your desktop. But in the next version, you won't have to preview. You'll be able just to upload things directly, and it'll be a lot quicker and to the point.
So. And more graceful, I think.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. And the other thing that's pretty exciting is integrated outcomes. They're basically, with the changes in the gradebook, they're also adding this feature where you would essentially be able to create rubrics in order to better give feedback to students. So that'll be an exciting sort of addition that we'll get to explore.
Yeah, and the gradebook also supports decimal grades out of the box, which would be very, very, very helpful. It allows you to do things like you could drop up to the 20 lowest grades from your gradebook.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
I don't know why
you'd want to do that, but you can. And it's just got all kinds of custom options to it. Now, it's still not ready for prime time. The gradebook itself is looking better, but when you go into the individual assignments, you can't actually edit stuff at the assignment level. It still has its drop down, but presumably they'll fix that before it goes live.
Yeah, so just to let you know, we're looking at probably having 1.9 installed at some point in the summer.
Right. I think our hope is that there's going to be another Hack Doc Fest, at which point we'll get together with some of our peer schools. We'll all take a look at 1.9, figure out where the landmines are, and see if we need to fix anything or if there's anything we need to beautify for to roll it out to campus. And then, hopefully we'll be able to go into production with it for the fall. So that's why we're installing it now, so we can start playing around with the beta and seeing where the sticking points are. And I think, actually, the other thing I just kind of wanted to mention about open source development, particularly as it applies to Moodle, is the edit resources thing, because there's this thing called Tracker, which keeps track of the bugs and requests that come in for Moodle for interface changes. And this was a big thing. There was a lot of people were complaining about this. It got a lot of votes in Tracker. And Martin, the bigwig at Moodle, said, okay, this is blocker for 1.9, which basically means they cannot release 1.9 unless they fix this, so these options are available for edit resources. And one of the other developers says, okay, yeah, I can do this, but I don't see why it's a big deal. And Martin came back and said, it's a big deal because 30 people voted for it. That's pretty cool.
It is. It's very cool. It's very cool to be able to see our interaction with, I mean, we think of them as a company, I guess, but our interaction with the programmers really is formative.
Yeah, so, and they're exciting. Actually listening to what we have to say, responding to what we have to say. It's just really cool to see the whole thing work through.
Yeah. So, nice segue on something to say. We have a couple things. The first is pretty exciting, I think. There are now portable audio kits available at Skillman for checkout. And basically what the audio kit is a small recorder that you can use to record lectures. You could record podcasts like ours. Basically anything you want to record. It also comes with a lapel mic, so you can, you know, get good quality sound. If you're doing a lecture, you can put the lapel mic on, slip the recorder in your pocket, and go. So those are exciting, and hopefully we'll have some workshops scheduled soon for using those and editing audio. And the other place, if we're talking about, you know, saying things. We are, I think most people, hopefully by now, who have accounts in Web Surveyor know that we are moving to something called Opinio for our web-based survey tool. So our Vovici account expires on March 3rd. So if you haven't started making progress in moving your stuff over, you need to. So there are workshops available, 3 of them. And if you've never had a Vovici or Web Surveyor account, but you want to try Opinio, you just need to fill out the form to get an account and then attend a workshop so you know how to use it.
So as far as tech news goes, I got to think that like all the tech news has been devoured by Microsoft and Yahoo.
It has to be.
Because that's what everybody's been talking about.
There's not a whole lot else out there.
So for those of you who don't know, Microsoft is interested in acquiring Yahoo. And it made this initial proposal to which the Yahoo board of directors said, no, we're not interested. We think you're undervaluing our company. And now Microsoft's doing kind of maneuvering on the back end saying, okay, well, we'll see if we can do this as a hostile takeover. So,
and Google has basically come out and said, Yahoo will help you. So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Certainly people have been talking about it a lot, but yeah. I don't know if it could end up being like, kind of like a Time Warner AOL thing. You know, like Yahoo used to be the thing.
Right.
And they really have, I mean, they've acquired a lot of different services, but they haven't really done a lot of innovative things on their own. I mean, I know you like Yahoo Photos, right? You were experimenting with that at one point.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
But nothing that's really kind of, not the way, I mean, Google's acquired things as well. But they've acquired things that have kind of fit their portfolio and complemented things they were doing in other places. So Writely becoming Google Docs, you know, that kind of stuff. But no one's really kind of saying, wow, Yahoo's doing nifty things. So I don't know if it would really help them as much as they think it might.
Yeah. But I will say that if Microsoft does purchase Yahoo, I'm going to have to change my mail account because I just can't.
Oh, you have a Yahoo account, eh?
I've had a Yahoo account since 1995.
Wow.
And I just, you know...
I still have a couple of Yahoo groups. I mean, Yahoo groups is really popular with, at least with my friends. And I don't know if it's just because they've been around for so long that it just kind of keeps going along.
Yeah.
But I haven't really seen a killer Web 2.0 app come along to replace Yahoo groups. It's kludgy and it's old, but...
But it works,
you know. Yeah. So anyway, enough kind of rambling on about Yahoo and Microsoft. On the education front, there have been some cool developments.
Yeah, there have been. I think one of the most sort of exciting and encouraging and interesting is taking place over at Harvard. Their arts and science faculty actually made the case for open access to their own scholarly articles. So basically, what's going on is Harvard is going to set up a repository, or I'm sure they've already set it up, and it'll basically be set up as an opt-out option instead of an opt-in, which is sort of unique. Usually, most repositories, you have to say, please put my work in here. But Harvard's taking the opposite approach. They've really tried to take a lead on sort of this idea of open access to knowledge and trying to share as much of their courseware and coursework as possible. And so this sort of is just an extension of that. Their faculty are basically saying, you know, it doesn't really make sense for us that we have all of these wonderful scholarly publications that can't be shared with the world because we hand them off to journals who put them behind passwords or put them behind $20,000 subscriptions that people can't afford.
Right, and that's actually, I thought that was interesting from the head of their libraries was talking about in an article in the Crimson, which we'll link to from the show notes, but he was mentioning that, you know, they're spending all this money to subscribe to these journals, which are just getting more and more expensive, which then the libraries have to pay for, right? The individual department's not paying for it.
Right.
So it's eating up library resources, which could be used to buy other books that are being published, right? Which they can't buy those books, so then other colleges stop publishing those books, which makes it harder for their faculty to get published. So it's this kind of vicious circle that they're trying to break out of. So I thought that was really interesting, which actually, we're segues galore here, right?
That's right, which leads us into another site that we've sort of come upon called researchblogging.org.
And this is a pretty cool site that's basically trying to aggregate all of the publicly posted journal articles and blog entries and that kind of thing into one central place. So it's got topics like, did I mention them in my show notes or did we pull up the site?
I think you did, but it has like anthropology and biology and chemistry and computer science and philosophy and math. So it's basically all of these scholars who blog their scholarly work. So not, you know, hey, I had Fruit Loops for breakfast kind of blogging, but but serious academic blogging. And it just aggregates it into one point.
And their tagline is discussing and creating peer-reviewed research. So pretty cool. You can check it out at researchblogging.org. Unfortunately, those categories don't have RSS feeds of their own right now, which would be even niftier, but there is a feed for the main site, so I think it's worth checking out.
And I think they'll eventually add an RSS for each category.
Yeah, I gotta think they will.
As they get more content, I think they probably will. Yeah.
In help news this week, the first thing we wanted to talk about was a little tip for Moodle and files and resources, which this is mostly applying to faculty, yes?
Yes, yes. So we've had a couple of people ask. Sometimes you've posted a resource into your files area and linked to it for the students, and then you see that there need to be some changes made. So basically, if you take the file and make the changes and save it with the same file name, upload it in the place of that file, the link is going to stay the same. So you're not going to have to go reset the link. Now, this has been sort of confusing for people because they do this and then they look at the file and it appears to be the same as the old one. It's really not. It's just hung in your cache. So you have two options. You can just go into your browser and clear the cache and then look at it again and it should be fixed. Or usually if you'll log out of Moodle and log back in, it fixes itself as well, because it sort of wipes the Moodle cache.
Gotcha.
When you do that.
So, okay.
So that's an easy way to update your resources. Workshops. We have not posted any except for the Openio, but we will be posting them early next week, all of the workshops. And just to give you a sneak peek, for those of you who are Google Earth and Google Maps junkies, Pat Fasapani will be offering a Google Earth workshop on February the 26th, I believe, which is a Tuesday. And then on the Thursday of the same week, she'll be doing a Google My Maps workshop, which, if you haven't played with Google My Maps, they're pretty fun.
They are. I haven't really played with them that much, but
I've seen
what you've done,
right?
And it's pretty nifty.
So basically what it allows you to do is to make your own, you use their map interface, and you can set your own points, and then you can give little descriptions to those points. So one that I'm currently working on is a basically eat your way across Easton, I think is what I should call it. But it's basically a bunch of restaurants that I like in Easton and the, you know, local area. And so I basically put the pinpoint where it is and tell you what it is and where it's located. And if there's a link to something that I can link to, I provide you with the URL.
That's pretty cool.
And the phone number and address and all that. So
yeah, so it's nifty when you have people coming into town.
And, yeah.
Know, that's where you used to, Courtney made one for Hack Doc Fest of, you know, local places to eat and, you know, here's where the Lafayette Inn is and that kind of stuff. And I mean, I could see it just being useful for sharing with friends, you know, this is what's here. And,
right. You know. And it wouldn't necessarily have to be current stuff. So
right.
For any of you that are, you know, history buffs, you could create your own map of, you know, historical locations or, you know,
you could do a lot with it. You could show like information about fishing places.
Yeah.
Right. Or just, you know, information about local waterways. A lot of possible uses for it.
Lots of possibilities. So check those out. Also upcoming, probably early March, are going to be some other workshops on Photoshop and Illustrator and some things like that. So check the ITS website. Those will be posted shortly.
And the last thing we just kind of close with is we want feedback.
Because
we've
been
getting more spam than we've been getting feedback.
Yeah, it is sad.
Yeah. Our inbox is lonely.
Yeah.
So you can send us feedback by emailing us at itsblog@lafayette.edu.